You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen's jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Welcome in to this sectional championship edition of Inside Ben Davis Football here on Giant 90.9. I'm your host, Zion Brown, and joined today by WBDG General Manager John Easter, Jeff Robinson of the Franklin Daily Journal, and of course, Ben Davis Head Football Coach Jason Simmons. So we'll start off talking about the Giants' sectional semifinal victory last Friday night, which was a 57-0 victory over Perry Meridian. And so, Coach, how just confident were you with your team's matchup and just game plan going into that game last Friday?
You know, for us, Zion, we felt like it was, you know, it was a matchup that we would have success with. You know, when you get into an opportunity, you know, when the sectional draw first came out, everybody said, oh, you guys got great sectional draw. You know, I think when you look at our sectional on paper, it looks like it's going to be okay. It looks like it could be favorable for us. But, you know, at the same time, it's three unknowns. You know, we had a little bit of an idea about Tech, and it's one of those things we talked about last week. But, you know, we didn't really know anything about Perry. We know very little about Southport going into it. And so you really got to dive into the film and get a feel for who they are and feel like what their strengths are. And you go back to last Friday, and Perry came out, showed us some different things, showed our offense some different defensive fronts. Showed our defense some different offensive formations that we had seen very little from them, and so you know it's a credit to them. You know, they came in and felt like they had to do what they had to do to give their players a chance. But we felt like going into it was a matchup that if we played to our standard, if we played Ben Davis football, we felt like we could come out of there and be one of the 16 teams left in 6A.
Coach, Friday night was the first time that your team had played under the new IHSAA mercy rule. What was your feelings in terms of experiencing that new rule the first time?
You know, I liked the rule when it went in. I was a part of the coaches association group that helped write the rule and that was involved in a lot of the conversations with the IHSAA as that rule evolved. And you know, I think the intent of the rule is the right thing to do. You know, it's meant to. For teams to be able to sub their players, it's meant to you know try and enhance safety, enhance sportsmanship. So the intent of the rule, I think, is in the right place. You know, for us, it was just a new experience, and you know we were fortunate enough at halftime to be up with a large enough margin that it would run the clock in the second half. And so really, we spent part of halftime making sure our kids understood the rule, making sure our kids understood what to expect. And making sure they understood our expectations. And, you know, from then, you know, the IHSA says you can only dress 75 guys. And so, you know, we actually dressed 73 on Friday. And, you know, for us, it was a point of emphasis then for us to get everybody into the game and to make sure we got our guys out healthy. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to be able to do that on Friday.
You just mentioned in terms of the IHSA roster limitations. How difficult is that a situation to deal with at a 6A school and such a large program?
You know, for us, if you were to look at our roster, and we do this every Wednesday, we develop a dress list every Wednesday. We've tried to train our guys. Hey, I think the most we've dressed for any road game this year has been 80. You know, so we've tried to limit that dress list per week. Certainly when you get into a situation, you have 100 plus guys on your roster and you get some, you're going to deal with some injuries as the ebb and flow of the season goes. We would dress more guys for home games. But, you know, for us, I feel like our guys are trained to know that, you know, we're only going to dress 75. And so for us, you know, you start to look when you get, we have a core group of 56 guys right now, to be honest with you, Jeff, that we know are lock stock guys that are going to play, whether they're a one and a half, a two, whether they're a one on special teams, whether they're an immediate backup on special teams. So we know 56 of those 75 guys going in, you know, and then you got to start to look at some very specific guys that, you know, your number two holders got to address. And then you start to look at other areas where, you know, if this guy goes down, we definitely have to have this guy, you know, on the dress list, at least ready to go. And so you start to look at all those things. And really, as you go, the puzzle starts to take care of itself. And so for us, you know, we had an idea. We had 75 guys on the dress list. We banged two guys on Thursday, one because of an ankle, and the other one just wasn't the right thing to do to suit him up on Friday because he was dealing with some other things. And so, you know, we lost two guys to late injuries in the week, and we didn't pull anybody else up. But, you know, so we got everybody in the game. We got out healthy, and those were two big priorities. And when Friday night at 9:30 came around, we were one of 16 teams left in 6A.
As you look at a game against a team like Perry Meridian, we've kind of talked about some of the challenges that it presents to prepare for a team like that, a team that you don't have a lot of comparison to, really. So what are some of the positives and negatives of playing a game like we saw Friday night, where you really go in and you don't have a good handle necessarily, other than what you've been able to find on a team like Perry Meridian? What are some of the positives and negatives of that?
Yeah, I think when you look at that game and you look at how our coaching staff handled the pregame, like for us, we had a checklist of players that we wanted to be able to put eyes on and evaluate during pregame. You know, we had four or five guys offensively. We had four or five guys defensively. We always go into a game and we have a checklist on special teams that we evaluate from the other team during pregame. And so, you know, that, I think that checklist took on more meaning and more purpose. You know, it's easy when you're getting ready for an opponent that you know and that you've already seen, or that you know their guys. You just want to double check and make sure they are who we think they are on film. But when you get to an unknown and you have that pregame checklist, you know, if you go back and watch our coaching staff, they were hovered around the 50 for a long time, longer than normal, really. And that was because we were just evaluating the opponent. We have the same checklist going into Friday, you know. And so for us, we felt like our coaching staff got a good feel about their personnel during pregame and the people that we need to identify and be able to get a feel for. You know, because, again, it's not just – it wasn't just Perry. But it was who they were playing. And so we don't know much about who they're playing. We don't know much about them. And so we really got to dig. And, you know, our staff takes a great deal of pride in leaving no stone unturned in preparation, or we feel like we do. And so that was a part of preparation that we felt like we had to go win in pregame. You play a team that's desperate, you know, similar to what you guys brought up last week. They're going to come and throw the kitchen sink at us. They did that. You know, I think offensively we kind of sputtered early. We weren't real clean. Didn't feel like we were clean most of the night, offensively, honestly, but we were able to get the ball in space and cut our guys loose. You know, I felt like all of our skill guys had opportunities to go make plays, and they did that. Still didn't feel real clean, and then at the end of the night, go home, watch film, and you're like, yeah, we were just okay. You know, I felt like defensively, their longest play from scrimmage was because we didn't get lined up right. You know, discipline on the back end is something that has burned us a couple of times this year, and it was something that Friday night we weren't happy with. And so, like, it's, you know, it's some of those things you want to see if your team's mature enough just to stay locked in and focused. And I felt like for the most part we were. I felt like there were a couple of times where we just got a little relaxed, and I get it. I understand it. Doesn't mean I like it in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, I felt like all in all, I think when you look at the positives of it, our guys handled themselves well. They played Ben Davis football. They finished plays. They played hard. Did what we asked them to do. And I don't know that there were a bunch of negatives that we could take from it. You know, our guys were in different situations. Staff was, you know, in a situation. It's the first time we've been in that mercy rule situation, Jeff, like you talked about. Didn't think we substituted real clean. I thought at times it looked like a circus. And that was something that we had to address as a coaching staff on Saturday and Sunday. And it felt like we have. So, you know, I think it was just a new experience, and it was something that we can certainly learn from and grow from moving forward. But, again, you know, we're one of 16 teams left, and for the most part we're sitting here healthy too. So, you know, we're certainly excited.
So talk about how you did get to get some of those younger players in on Friday night. Talk about the importance of getting those players sometime before they become full-time varsity starters.
You know, I think when you look at how we – I was – that was probably one. I felt like our staff had a really good transition to substitution, and it wasn't like we went into it with a wholesale plan, because I can look everybody in this room in the eye and say we did not. It wasn't something that we said, hey, we're going to be able to do this, this, and this. You know, I felt like as we started to expand that lead in the second quarter, we were very calculated and very scripted. With, you know, you take the offense, for example, and, you know, we pulled two offensive starters on a drive, and then we rolled with, you know, our what that night were our sixth and seventh with the other three starters. The next drive, we pulled another starter, and so we didn't want to wholesale our offensive line substitutions. I've never been a big believer in that. As long as I've coached offensive line, we were able to start to roll our skill guys through. You know, we have good depth at tailback, and so that wasn't something that we forced. We didn't force touches on anybody, which I think is important. You get in situations like that. You know, I think on the other side of the ball, you look at what we did defensively. We played, I think we played every defensive lineman that we dressed in the first half. We can rotate a bunch of defensive linemen as long as you got guys behind them that are ones. And so, you know, we kept our defensive ones in for, I think, all but the last 4 minutes of the first half. And so, you know, we just wanted to get those guys snaps and keep them in a rhythm. And conversely, you know, it was a good opportunity to get guys on film that maybe haven't been on film in a while. And so, you know, for us, we felt like it was important to, and I felt like we handled the substitutions well.
Coach, you were noting a little bit about the difference in scheduling between what Ben Davis and Perry Meridian has. Your schedule easily probably the toughest in the state this year. You look at Perry Meridian, they're in a conference where they are the lone Class 6A school. Tough in preparation in terms of getting ready for a 6A tournament.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that our schedule got us prepared for the regular, you know, our regular season got us prepared for the tournament. When you look, you know, if you're a big believer in the Sagarin rankings, we had the number one strength of schedule until the end of the regular season, and then we moved to number two. So, you know, we felt like our regular season schedule would put us in a position to go into the tournament saying we've seen anything and everything that we're going to see. Now it's just a matter of, you know, are we coaching our guys well enough? Are our guys still getting better at the end of the year? And are we still growing as a football team enough to be competitive, you know, when we start to see some of these schools second time around? Certainly felt like going into the game, and, you know, I think our players will tell you this too. You know, when we watched Perry Meridian film, it wasn't a matter of, you know, who or what or anything else. It was, hey, we need to go play at our level. We go play at our level. We felt like we would have a chance to be really successful.
Put yourself in the position at Perry Meridian, counterpart position there. That's a program that struggled really against the top level schools. What are some of the inherent challenges that you've observed in terms of Perry Meridian football coaching situation?
You know, I think when you look at that Perry Meridian, when you look at Perry Meridian as a whole, you know, they're landlocked. You know, I don't know that growing up on the south side, growing up not too far away from Perry Meridian, it's a school that hasn't had an overwhelming a lot of success, you know, in terms of, you know, from a football standpoint. And I don't want to be rude in any way, shape, or form talking about their program, because I don't know the inner workings of it well at all. But yeah, I think you get into situations like that, and you got to look at numbers, you got to look at depth, you got to look at. I think there's a lot of layers to it. You know, I think one of those layers that I'm sure people in Lawrence Township would say the same thing is you're a two high school township, and when you're a two high school township, you're dividing resources, you're dividing kids, you're dividing your youth league, there's all those different layers to it that could certainly pull away take away from the development of kids that are leading into your high school.
This week, which we'll talk about in the next segment, we'll play the arch rival of Perry Meridian, or the Giants. I'm violating my own we rule there. I always tell the student broadcasters not to relate to the Giants as we, so I just violated my own rule. The Giants will take on Southport. So you do now have a mode of comparison a little bit between Perry Meridian and Southport. So are there any other positives that you can pull out of this game heading into this week's game against Southport?
Yeah, you know, I think we have one common opponent now, you know, and that I think that's important. You know, when you look at being able just to compare, you know, we don't have the Southport Perry game, you know, from earlier in the season, but you can go online and try and pull stats, and now that we have a reference point of Perry Meridian, you know, who from Perry Meridian had success against Southport and who from Southport had success against Perry Meridian. So you can start to try and draw some comparisons there. And that's certainly something that we drew on Saturday and Sunday just to kind of get a feeling, kind of get an idea for us. And you know, I think, there were some life lessons embedded in that game. Just like, you know, when you talk about the game of football, there's life lessons embedded in it, I think each and every day. And our ability to handle success on Friday, I think, showed them that our team is still growing from a maturation standpoint. I don't know that early in the season, I don't know that this group would have handled that nearly as well as what they did Friday. And I think it showed that we had a better understanding of where the standard of Ben Davis football is for us to be able to come out of the locker room and play at our level and do that for the entire first half. And really, I thought we played hard in the second half, too. Shows that, you know, we're still getting better. We're still maturing. We're still growing. And, you know, certainly gives us an opportunity, hopefully, to have success again this Friday.
All right. That will end the first segment here talking about last week's Perry Meridian game. We're going to take a quick break here and then come back with the Giant Rewind. And I will sit down and talk to senior wide receivers Jaden Brown and Jalen Nolan. You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football presented by the ISC Sports Network.
I'm a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs.
Wi-Fi everywhere.
More playgrounds.
Oh, more ice cream trucks.
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you.
To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org.
Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I was very independent. I fell, and I had to have Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Giant Rewind. A look back at last week's game through the calls of WBDG's announcers.
It's going to be a pitch outside, right side to Olajuwon Hassel. He gets a hold. He gets past the 40-yard line inside the 35. And he stays in bounds inside the 10 now. And Olajuwon Hassel with the 49-yard touchdown run. Staying in bounds, breaking tackles, and putting the Giants on top of this one. The extra point. Now the Giants kind of running that swinging gate. And they will run out of it. And they'll go through the middle and get the extra point to gain an 8-0 lead with Olajuwon Hassel there running that swinging gate play. Gets past the 30, gets past the 20. He has running room to the outside. He gets inside the 5-yard line and he is in to the end zone once again with a 31-yard touchdown run by Trez Cushenberry. And the Giants have a 2-score lead here. Same formation for the Giants now. Gibson gets the snap and it's another pass with a fake handoff outside. And one man is made miss and it will be a touchdown for the Giants. Going ahead 3 scores here in this one. Adrian Reese caught that one for a 9-yard touchdown, making Cruz miss. Trips to the far side, shotgun set now for Gibson. He's going to lift the throw again. This time he's rolling out right. He has a man open in the end zone, and it is caught for a 12-yard touchdown. The Giants continue to pounce on Perry. So that's a 12-yard touchdown pass to Adrian Reese once again with his second touchdown reception of this first half. And Gibson going to fake a pass, handed off to LaDon Allen. Inside, who gets inside the 15. He has room on the outside. LaDon Allen will walk inside of the end zone for a 22-yard touchdown run over on the right side. And the Giant lead extends. And it's going to be a pass this time. It's complete inside the 5. He's dragging his way towards the end zone. And he will get into the end zone for the 6-yard Ben Davis touchdown pass there.
Was Jalen Nolan on the touchdown reception right there. So a beautiful catch, fighting into the end zone. Great pass by Trent Gibson. That's another touchdown for your BD Giants.
And now it's going to be, no, Juwan Swanson will keep it himself on a read option. He has a hole out left side, and he gets into the end zone on a 10-yard rushing touchdown by Juwan Swanson. After one half of play, your Giants lead 50-0 over the Perry Meridian Falcons. And so, four receivers out wide. This time it's another Swanson pass. It's complete. Man missed, and it's fighting for the end zone.
and it is a 9-yard touchdown pass by Jawan Swanson, and the Giants extend their lead. And that's a 9-yard touchdown pass. Devin Wiley caught it, so from Jawan Swanson to number 16, Devin Wiley, another sophomore as well. So that might be a future combination we see for the Giants next year and the year after that. And the Giants will come out victorious after a 57-0 lead over the Perry Meridian Falcons here in this sectional semifinal game.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
You heard it right there. Back here on Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. I'm Zion Brown, and now I'm joined by a couple of star senior wide receivers for the Giants, Jalen Nolan and Jaden Brown. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm excellent. Thanks for asking, Jalen. How about you, Jaden?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm great. Okay, so we're going to start. Just, you guys are now, as seniors, you're down to some of the last games of your career here in the state tournament. So how important is it for both of you to make sure you lay it all out on the line and give it all you got, as you don't know how much longer you have?
Me, honestly, I feel like with this being the last couple games with my brothers, I call these guys my brothers because I've known them for just about my whole life, and I play with them just about my whole life. So these last couple games, they not only mean just about everything, but I put my all into this. Like, this is what I've grown up to do. I've grown up playing football my whole life, and this is it. This is it right here.
Yeah, for me, I've been playing with these guys since I was young, little, and it's just a bittersweet feeling to know that he won't be by my side in a couple of games, and we're just going hard every last game because it's playoff time now, and every game can be our last game now. So we put everything out on the line, practice hard, work hard, and enjoy our brothers every day.
One thing I've noticed is, as a core for the receivers, you guys really take pride in blocking well for each other and for the running backs. So talk about where that comes from and how much motivation you get from blocking.
Oh, man, that's your brother running the ball back there for you. So when he comes out there, you're not going to let somebody just hit him and tackle him and take him to the ground. And we take that personal, that somebody will line up in front of you and think that they're just going to manhandle you all night. And we take a big pride in blocking all week at practice, and coach makes it an emphasis for us all week. So when we go out there, it's really a thing that we take emphasis in and go hard at.
We definitely all take pride in that outside blocking right there, because we know that sometimes it's all mushy on the inside. It takes the outside for us to get, you know, open space, open field. You know, it's hard. It's pretty hard to tackle an open field. So all we do is just keep our body in front of them, keep our work in our hands, and let our brother do the work.
So, Jalen, Cameron Kelly was on the show earlier this year, and he talked about how kind of balancing playing baseball helps him as well in football. Do you feel the same way, and if so, why?
I definitely feel like baseball helps me a lot, because watching that ball in the air, kind of like I play kick return, and it kind of takes like knowing just about how far the ball to go back, and so, you know, you're always your first step is always back in baseball, so it's easier to get a ball going forward than it is going back. And you know, I feel like it really does take a toll, though. Quick hands and eye coordination, catching the ball, everything.
All right, that's a good answer right there. So how are you guys? This is a South Sports team that is definitely, record-wise, is just better than Perry was last week. So how offensively are you guys planning to attack them this week?
The coaches have a pretty good game plan for them this week, and we're just have to go out there and execute it and take it play by play, down by down, and play four quarters of Ben Davis football. And at the end of the game, we want the W as the end result. So that's what it is this week, and we don't take any opponent lightly, being Perry or Warren. We take every opponent very serious and go into the week mentally and physically ready.
Knowing every game could be our last game, every practice could be our last practice that week. You know, it's a lot. You know, I'm being a senior here at Ben Davis and me playing football my whole career is just, it takes a toll. I feel like I.
So what specifically do you feel you need to do in order to try to attack Southport and make sure you get the job done on Friday night?
I feel like our coaches have put in a pretty good game plan for us. So with us just every practice going out and executing every day, watching film, working hard, trying to get every play, make every play with the ball in our hands, it's we're going to just finish the season 1-0. We're living through the windshield like Coach Simmons says.
So what things what have you seen from the Southport defense that may be a challenge or that you say, okay, we have to make sure we take care of this?
Okay, they're going to try to give us a challenge to throw the ball this week because we've seen a lot that they want to load the box this week on us. And so we're just going to try to do what we can. And we're just going to read their defense and play as the game goes. And the game plan this week is a very great one for us. So we believe if we just execute, do our job at the end of the night, the scoreboard will tell the story.
We play a full 48 minutes, and we all make plays on balls that we should make plays on. I feel like we'll have a pretty good game. We should have a – we've watched film, and Southport's defense, they're pretty – I'm going to say they're pretty legit. I mean, every game we have to take serious and just we take every game serious.
All right, last question here. I've asked all the players that have been on this year, who's your favorite football player and why?
I personally like Tyreek Hill. And A.B., I will give it to A.B. because A.B., he doesn't hold nothing back. He lets his feelings be known. You know, he takes pride in just hard work and getting the job done.
Jaden?
For me, I have to say Julio Jones. He's a bigger receiver like me. Great speed, great routes, and great hands. And he also takes pride in his blocking as well. And he's a strong receiver and has a great respect for the game. So that I would have to say right there, Julio, the good man, go up, get the ball, and just do everything for you. So that's what I like to really take my game after.
No, those are definitely both of you answer with some elite NFL receivers. Thanks for coming on. Good luck this week, guys.
Appreciate you.
That is Jaden Brown and Jalen Nolan on this week's Inside Ben Davis Football, talking about just being the senior leader, senior receivers, and what it takes to beat Southport this week. We'll go into further detail with that coming up in the next segment where Coach Jason Simmons will join us once again to talk about that, to talk about the Southport game. You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I was very independent. I fell, and I had to have Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
I'm a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs.
Wi-Fi everywhere.
More playgrounds.
Oh, more ice cream trucks.
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you.
To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org.
Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
911, what is your emergency?
Quick to help.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
Once again, we're back here on Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. I am joined by John Easter, Jeff Robinson, and Coach Jason Simmons once again. So now in this last segment, we'll talk about the Southport game, the sectional final game this Friday. So, Coach, Southport's quarterback Ryan Lazon is one of the more electrifying will face this season. So what will go into slowing him down on Friday night?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to play team defense on him, to be honest with you, Zion. When you look at Ryan, he is he's a big old son of a gun. He's 6'3", 190 pounds. You know, we obviously know he's a Division I commit to Ball State, play wide receiver. You know, I think when you look at how he ended up at quarterback, I think Southport evaluated it and said, you know, we got to get the ball in the hands of our best player. And, you know, he's certainly that. He's really good. He can stretch the field vertically. He can push the ball deep, especially, you know, they picked up some basketball guys halfway through the year that have kind of changed the speed of their offense. But, you know, I think what's equally impressive is how physical he is as a runner. You know, for us, we're going to have to play team defense, and we're really going to have to try and force the ball out of his hands. If we can get the ball out of his hands, we feel like we can run and rally on the perimeter and have some success. But we got to take away the quarterback run game, and we got to try and force the ball out of his hands quickly in the passing game so we can rally and run.
Coach, you look again, just like Perry Meridian, you look at the Southport schedule, you're only going to be, I believe, like the fourth Class 6A team they face this season. How do you compare in terms of what level that you feel like Southport may have been playing this season? Obviously, they're coming from Conference Indiana, which the only other 6A school is Columbus North in that league.
Yeah, you know, for us, we trade game film with them, and so, you know, we really try to dive into that game film and get a feel for, who they're playing first. So when you look at a large part of our staff, you know, I think, probably the more veteran guys on staff were watching their opponent the first time through, and then we would go back and evaluate Southport and dig into Southport. And I think that's just some of a veteran move, really. When you've been coaching for 20 years, like a lot of guys on our staff have been, you got to get a feel for who they're playing as much as just, you know, who your opponent is. But you turn the film on, and, you know, they have 6A players. You know, you look at a guy like Ryan Lazon, like Zion brought up. You know, he's a guy that's a top five player in Marion County right now, arguably, you know. And so he's a really good football player, whether they're playing a 3A school, a 4A school, a 5A school, or 6A school. You know, I think with the advantage that we have going into this game on Friday is, you know, we've seen the best that 6A has to offer with our schedule. You know, you go up and down our schedule, we've seen the best that 6A has to offer. So we feel like our regular season schedule has us prepared to go into this game on Friday and certainly give ourselves a chance.
This is Southport's a team that Ben Davis as a program has not seen since 2005. So it's been quite a long time at Ben Davis. 2004 was the last time they met. So a lot of time has transpired. You know, Tom Allen was the head football coach at Ben Davis last time these two teams played. So just the unfamiliarity between the two programs, I mean, it goes a little, even a little bit deeper, I think, because you guys just don't see each other. And, you know, Conference Indiana isn't what it was in 2005 either. You know, Pike and LC and some other teams were members of that league. So, I mean, I know we've talked about it a couple of times now, a couple weeks in a row, but this is just like boring. I mean, football-wise, they might as well be from Mars, because these two teams, you just don't see each other. You don't hang around, really, in the same football neighborhoods, I suppose, is a good way to put it. So what are the challenges, really, for you guys as a staff?
You know, for us, when you throw the film on, it's sometimes just hard. You have to have a keen eye to try and truly assess speed. You know, like, how fast are these guys? And that's one of those things that we'll take a look at long and hard during pregame. If you're there early enough, and you'll see our staff hovering around midfield quite a bit. At least for the first, 20-25 minutes that they're out there, and it's all because we're trying to assess guys that we don't have a real good feel for. you know, when you look at, you know, when we've played MIC teams, our staff is rarely out around midfield hovering, because we know those guys, we know those opponents, the guys we've seen for 2 or 3 years, whether it's been on Saturday morning or Friday night, we just have a better feel for them. And you know, it goes back to what you're talking about, John. You know, it's been since 2004. You know, I wasn't around when the last time you know we played Southport. And so for us, it's the unknown, and that, you know, that was my concern coming into this sectional, is that, you know, it's just an unknown. So the prep is different. You know, I've texted, you know, 10, 12 people, like, you know, hey, what do you got for me? You know, what do you think about this number? What do you think about this number? You know, I think this kid's pretty good. You know, how was he in your game? So I know coaches that have coached against him. So I've tried to reach out to those guys and glean as much information as I can, just because we don't know them. And then you got to take that information, you got to cipher it out, and you got to go back to the film and say, okay, is what this guy's telling me is what's showing up on film. And so for us, you know, we have our checklist of guys that we're going to take a look at in pregame and try and get a really, really good feel for them. When we go back in at that 640, 642 mark, you know, we'll circle the wagons with our guys and say, hey, you know, here's what we got from pregame, da 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 da. We'll meet as a coaching staff, and then we'll roll it out. And we'll hit the locker room door, and you know, we'll get ready to tee this thing up at 7 to go play. But, you know, we have a good feel for what we're getting into. We feel like our schedule's put us in a good position to be prepared for them. You know, now it's just we gotta play at our level, but we also gotta get a feel for them really quickly here in this game. So, you know, we were talking off air. I feel like the key thing for us is starting fast defensively and starting fast offensively. You know, we got to be able to process the look that they give us, because it could be a little bit different than what we prepared for. And then, you know, we got to go play at our speed and trust that our schedule has put us in a position to have success on Friday.
How do you make sure your team just doesn't get too overconfident after last week's win, heading into this week and possibly the rest of the tournament?
Well, you know, Zion, if we haven't learned from our regular season, then we're not as mature and as progressive as I feel like we have been. You know, we've had enough of a roller coaster ride. It doesn't take long to jar their memories pretty quickly, to be honest with you. And, you know, for us, we've had success when offensively we've taken care of the ball, we've played with good tempo, we've made people defend and honor the entire field. You know, defensively, we've had success when we've been the more disciplined of the two teams, and we play from start to finish, you know, from whistle to whistle. And so we consistently remind our guys of that recipe. We consistently remind our guys of the standard that has been set in this program long before they ever put a Ben David on. And that's the standard that we're chasing every day. And it doesn't take long for us to jar their memory and remind them of, you know, a couple of those downhill slopes that we had, you know, during the regular season. And you get into a tournament situation like this, Zion, you're guaranteed one. You know, you're guaranteed one. And for us, you know, we don't go take care of business. This was our last Tuesday practice. And if you don't want that to be the case, then we better make sure we're locked in on what's right in front of our face. And we better make sure that we're ready to go play on Friday.
Coach, Southport seems to try to emphasize, based on the athletes that they have, seems to emphasize the pass quite a bit within their offensive structure. Who on your schedule, from a preparation standpoint, would most similarly Southport from preparing to defend them?
Yeah, I think when you look at defending Southport and the ability that their quarterback has, you know, their pass numbers get inflated a little bit, because when they run their jet sweep, they flip it. It's like we run jet sweep and we hand it off. They run jet sweep and they flip it. The way we run it counts as a run. The way they run it counts as a pass. And so, you know, I think really in a lot of ways they're similar to defending ourselves. You know, they don't line up with a tight end a lot. They have a quarterback that can run it and throw it. So you got to make sure you defend that. They do a good job with motion, and they force you to honor every skill kid that's on the field. You know, in some ways they use an H-back, kind of like an Avon or a Brownsburg did. So, yeah, I think they have some characteristics of a couple of different teams that we saw in the regular season, really throughout the year. Yeah, I think the quarterback has some similar skill sets to, you know, to Donovan McCauley at Lawrence North. just in terms of his ability to extend plays, in terms of his ability to be a good runner, in terms of his ability to stretch the field. You know, I think he reminds me a little bit of him, you know, just with his athleticism. And then, you know, he's got some trend in him too, because he is a dynamic runner. You know, he's a guy that has racked up a lot of yards through the air and on the ground, and, you know, similar to what Trent has done this year. And so, yeah, I think they're somewhat similar to defending us. And then when you look at them defensively, you know, to flip that script around, you know, they run a 4-2-5, and we saw four or five different teams throughout the year that run that 4-2-5 base defense, and they have their own little wrinkles to it. And, you know, we just got to make sure that we have a plan for those going into it.
When you lost my train of thought there for a second. There we go. Class 6A, we kind of talked about it before the show off the air. Class 6A was a very interesting mishmash of last week. I believe Ben Davis scored the most points in Class 6A last week, so congratulations, Coach, for that. But a lot of very close games, a couple of upsets, a couple of mild upsets, I think you could say. Maybe Brownsburg over Avon was a mild upset. Certainly, if you've been paying attention, it wasn't an upset. But, Coach, talk about Class 6, how wide open this thing is. I heard Greg Rakestraw talking to JMV today about how wide open 6A is right now. It is certainly wide open.
Yeah, I think it's wide open. You know, we talked to our guys. You know, we've made it a point not to look ahead. We didn't look ahead last week with Perry. Certainly haven't looked ahead this week with Southport, you know, through our preparation for him. Saturday morning, when our guys got done with Coach Vanderbush, right before we went to film, you know, we walked them through the 16 teams that were left in 6A. You know, here are the 16 teams. Here are the two teams in Sectional 1. Here are the two teams in Sectional 2. Here are the two teams in Sectional 3. We went through all 8 sectionals, got done with it, and said, congratulations, you're one of 16 teams, okay? You only have the ability to play one of the 16 teams, okay, this week, and that team has to have our sole focus. And so we spent less than 10 minutes talking about those 16 teams, and then we shifted our sights completely onto Southport. Because, you know, I think we do have to be honest with ourselves and realize that in this day and age, kids have more access to the world than at any point before. You know, back in 1993, when I was a senior in high school, we were making a tournament run. We had very little knowledge of anybody outside of our own circle. You know, we knew we had to beat Chittard to win our sectional. We knew we had I couldn't tell you anything about anybody else that was going on in the tournament, and our guys could tell me more of what happened Friday night the night before than what I knew. And I think that's the day and age that we're living in. So I think you have to allow some time for those guys to be able to look ahead and see the big picture, and at the same time start to send that focus down the funnel and get it locked in on the one thing that we certainly have control over, and that's going to play in Southport Friday. And so, you know, our guys know the 16 teams that are left. We've talked about those 16 teams. We're going to go try and be one of 8 Friday night, you know, at 10 o'clock.
Coach, when you look at last weekend's results, what of those 16 games, which of those 16 games were the most surprising outcomes to you?
I don't know that I was surprised by much of anything, to be honest with you, Jeff. You know, I think when you look at just the teams that won, you know, I thought Lafayette Jeff and Maryville would be a really good game. That was a one-score game. Quarterback at Lafayette Jeff got hurt in the first half, and you never want to see that. You never want to see a kid get hurt, especially in, you know, when he's a senior. I mean, it just had that. I had a bad feeling about that. You know, I think you look at Sectional 2, you got Penn and Warsaw. You know, we talked about Bart Curtis having a good feel for Penn, and, you know, from his days at Mishawaka. And so you have those two heavyweights left up north, and Warsaw, I think, has had a good regular season. Sectional 3, Homestead survived a scare down at Noblesville, and you know, they're going to play Carroll for a sectional championship in Sectional 3. And, you know, Sectional 4, Carmel beat Hamilton Southeastern. I felt like that was a pretty businesslike win for them from what I've heard. Certainly haven't seen it, but you know, I've talked to enough people that, you know, they just said that Carmel just did what they did, and it's like, yeah, well, I get it. You know, I've seen that before. You know, and they play Westfield, who we saw in the scrimmage, you know, so we'll have an idea, you know, kind of how those things shake out. Sectional 5, you got, you know, I think the Brownsburg-Avon game went about like we all thought it would. It was a one-possession game. It was a close game. It came down to the, you know, to who was going to make the most plays at the end of the game, and, you know, Brownsburg was able to do that. You know, they obviously both won on their home field. You know, they're playing Zionsville. You know, I think that game surprised me a little bit. I thought Pike would play well, you know, based on the score. Haven't seen the film, haven't talked to very many people. Obviously, that game got away from them. And then, you know, you look at LN got LC for the first time in a while, right? Like 13 years or 14 years, 14 tries, whatever it was. Yeah, I know it's been a long time since that happened. Then you look at Warren getting the win over North Central, and then down in Sectional 8, it's Franklin Central and Center Grove. So, you know, we certainly have a good feel for half the field that's left. You know, we either saw them in the regular season or they're in our conference. And so, you know, so we've tried to put the blinders on and go to work on Southport. And then, you know, we'll go to bed Friday night knowing who we're going to play next, and we'll wake up Saturday morning and certainly get to work.
Last question here. What is, like, the main thing you think you believe you need to do to be able to beat Southport on Friday?
I think we got to win the line of scrimmage. And I feel like that's an area where we may have an advantage coming into it. We got to be the more physical of the two teams up front. We got to win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. If we can do that, that's going to allow us to put the ball in space, and it's going to allow us to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. And if we can put the ball in space and we can get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly, we feel like we're going to be able to make some plays on the perimeter, and you know, we'll certainly feel like that's going to give us an opportunity to be successful on Friday.
All right, thank you, Coach Simmons, for that. Do not forget that on Friday at 7:00, your Giants will play in the Sectional 6 Championship against the Southport Cardinals. Gavin Miller, Kobe Clark, and myself will be on the call for that one. Thanks to wide receivers Jalen Nolan and Jaden Brown for joining us here today. This has been a presentation of Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISE Sports Network.
Been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.